At least it says we're live. Yes. Yes, we are. Okay, cool. Yay. I totally screwed that up. I'm sorry, everybody. Trying to do too many things at once in too many new different kind of cool ways. I really apologize. So, hi, everybody. I'm John. I'm one of your hosts, as always. With me, as always, is Tim. And welcome to New Dimension Comics Presents The Toddcast. I am in a new change of scenery today. I am in my living room.
It's very blue. I love that picture behind you.
Oh, the dog?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. We may or may not love Boston Terriers, I'm just saying.
I've noticed.
What? I don't know. My wife's a little crazy with them. She's up at her mom's, so I'm here with the dogs. And it's supposed to be my day off. I did a whole bunch of work.
Yeah.
But I read some comics, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So NDC housekeeping real quick. First Saturday of May, 50 cent sale, which, by the way, is this coming Saturday. I'm going to be in Elwood watching a ton of people try to attempt to shop somewhere besides the upstairs, because you cannot shop the basement this weekend.
Yeah.
But you can on June 5th for the Million Comic Sale. Yeah. That's also coming up. A new one to add, May 8th, you'll see us at the Kids Comic Con kickoff at the Sarah Hines House from 3:30 to 5:30. It's a small kid-focused thing. We're mostly going to be there just marketing. But come check it out. Come support Sarah Hines House. It's a good time. It's a free event. There's going to be like a learn to draw superheroes via an artist with Zoom. There's going to be a couple other like draw figure type things, like art things there. And there's also going to be some free comics, courtesy of New Dimension Comics. How about that?
So, awesome.
And then, we have Three Rivers Comic Con Light coming up, and that's pretty cool. I just, secured Aftershock today. So, yeah, so Aftershock, our new area rep, Justin, is going to be there. He's representing cool Aftershock. Sean Gabarin is coming, horror writer extraordinaire. And George Broderick Jr., who's worked for Innovation, and he does a lot of other stuff. He's coming too. He's a cartoonist in the area. So we have some cool guests coming. I had another vendor from Virginia ask me today. He's filling out stuff. So lots and lots of stuff. I'm actually going to be down there tomorrow trying to figure out a floor plan.
Yeah.
As much as I can with a parking lot.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. So if you see me randomly walking around the parking lot in the waterfront tomorrow, that's why. But if you've been down there and you've seen like the road signs, that's the parking lot section we're going to be in. So
John is not drunk, just so everybody knows, when he's walking in the parking lot.
I'm not. I just walk really terribly all the time. So
walking with a purpose.
I am. And a road sign, usually. Also, real quick, my buddy over at Platform Comics, they're rolling out their 10K contest again this year. So a team has 1 week to create a 4-to-8-page comic. They will give you a theme and a line that must be used in the script. They want to get as many people on this as possible. And for more information on it, you can check out platformcomics.com. This is backed by Mad Cave Studios, so make sure you check that out. Mad Cave's an upcoming independent studio that's been doing some really great stuff, so make sure you guys check that out. Again, that's platformcomics.com. I'm going to put that in the comments right now, and then we'll go on to comics in a second.
So. And next week we have writer of Stray Dogs, Tony Fleeks. So I got a week to figure this out.
Yes, you do.
He wrote a My Little Pony book.
Yeah.
And then wrote Stray Dogs, which is like
not My Little Pony.
It's like 101 Dalmatians, but like horror. So it's a really cool book. So he'll be here next
week. It is. It's a very good, very good one. So, all right, cool. So I'm going to let you go first, I think.
Okay. Let's see, what book are we going with?
Shadecraft
looks like. Yeah, Shadecraft, yes. This is, I just heard about this book. So I had to hurry up and get issue one. It's by Joe Henderson and Lee Garbay. He did some stuff on Captain Marvel recently, on Avengers. And he did this whole team did Skyward a few years ago, which was the story about gravity being gone on Earth. This is a really cool book. It's it opens up with this this young lady, she's a high school student, and her brother is dead. He died in a car crash. It's her older brother, and now she's just kind of like going through life as the girl who's got, I'm sorry, he's not dead, he's in a coma. So she's known as Coma Girl, a lot of people call her, because her brother's in a coma. And so it drives her nuts. She doesn't like her life in this post, in this world with her brother in a coma, and she misses him. And she has, it's very much about the shadows that we make, the shadows, the dark spots in our life, in other people's lives, how we affect other people's lives. And she's in a really dark place, and she's being attacked by shadows. And it's really, really cool idea. I'm trying to think of how to say this without giving it away. She has a shadow that wakes up and takes form of a person. And this shadow is only able to be seen by her, and is helping her to fight back these, this giant monsters of shadows that are trying to kill her. And she doesn't know why. So it's only on the second issue. I think the second print of the first issue just came out, and the second issue came out this week. I don't want to say anything more about that, because the first issue was kind of a quick read, and then the second one gets into it. This is the cover for issue three. You can see the artwork is just gorgeous. So this is, I think, a must read on people's lists. They should absolutely be checking this book out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I dig it. I dig it. All right. My first book is Shadow Man number one. By Colin Bunn and John Davis Hunt. This book's like a year late.
Yeah.
I remember interviewing Matt Klein, who used to work for Valiant, like this time last year on the podcast when we started doing them in live, and this had just gotten announced. I believe it was originally supposed to come out in the fall and just got a bunch of holdups. For those who don't know who Shadow Man is, he is a musician from New Orleans named Jack Boniface. And he is possessed by the Loa of Shadows. Way to go, Tim.
Yep.
To the phone.
I have everything set up, and then,
was that the penguin scoring?
No, that was somebody calling my phone.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah.
So, so it starts off with him just kind of beating the crap out of a demon in the dead world, like the world of the dead side, because he can pass back and forth between them easily. Mm-hmm. Then it goes into the story where he actually talks to death, and someone's having a party that is going to be like a seance-y, try to get to the other realm type of party. And they're drinking blood that's not human, and he doesn't know what it's actually from. And then you find out what happens when someone tries to go to the other side that shouldn't be there, and then also doesn't have human blood. Spoilers, giant mutant alien demon, like fly gnat things come out of them and start killing everyone. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The art in this book is absolutely fantastic. The storyline is great. It's Colin Bunn at his best.
That dude's everywhere. He's writing so much stuff.
I know. You'd think he had time on his hands or something.
Yeah. And this is the only Valiant book. Is this like the only Valiant book that's out right now? Or is there anything? I feel like.
No, Exo Manowar. And
I thought that ended.
I thought I had one more.
Okay.
And then The Visitor comes back soon.
Okay.
And shit.
They had.
There's another one. It's one of the ones that I don't really care for. That's I think.
With Stara and the Royal.
Oh, Savage is out right now.
Savage. Okay. Yeah.
Which is really, really good. Really, really good.
Ron's not going to be happy because he's every time we mention a book, he's like, guess I'm adding it to my pull list. Guess I'm adding it.
Yeah. That's kind of the point, Ron. Sorry, Ron, buddy.
Ron has the problem that everybody that works in a comic store has.
Yeah.
Without working in a comic store. So every time something comes up, I'm like, add it.
Yes. It is fan freaking tastic. Yeah. And that is honestly the problem. Like every week I put in my weekly order. So I usually put them in on Sunday. I will, I'll pull up whichever store I'm going to be at that Wednesday. And I throw in my order on Comic Hub and I just put it in there like Saturday night, Sunday. Cause usually Wednesday they have the invoices in there. So everything goes up. So I just kind of do it anyway. And it's a lot of fun to do that. And I always end up being like, holy crap, how did I put 12 books in this?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not even counting the stuff I actually sub to.
It's so dangerous.
Just the stuff. Yeah.
Need this. It's my Thursday routine. And I kind of look forward to it. Like I'll wake up and pull up Comic Hub, like you said, and I just start adding covers.
Yeah, I know, it's so bad.
Yeah. It's yeah.
Oh yeah. And then it's even crazier when there's multiple covers. The good thing about Comic Hub though, is it tells you if you already have it on order, like it won't let you order a second one, which is great.
Yeah. If you order the second one, you have to do it the initial time.
Yeah.
Like the first time, because otherwise you'd have to come to the store, cancel it, and then do it from the beginning.
Actually, there's a little message thing. You can message about that issue through Comic Hub, and it goes to the store, and then the store can adjust the quantity that you requested.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
I know. Things you never knew, the more you know. sorry, it's all the coffee I've been drinking today. All I've been doing is like eating pizza, drinking coffee, and plowing through a ton of work.
So, my pizza's actually in the oven right now.
I've been supporting a local shop called Antonio's, which is about a mile from my house on Brookline Boulevard.
Yeah.
And it is phenomenal. We found it during the quarantine, and we pretty much order there at least once a week. And since my wife's out of town, I'm like, I need to eat. And I'm lazy, so...
So if you've ever gone in and seen the guy, he's a little shorter with a big beard.
Mm.
A girl I went to high school with, they own that.
And oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think, did he go to the Art Institute by chance?
I'm not sure. He looks artsy. They have their own line of beef jerky also.
Ooh.
It's supposed to be fantastic.
That I will check out.
Yeah.
So. All right. Back to comics. Sorry. We digress a little bit. All right. Your next book is Robin.
Oh, man. This book was cool. I like everything about this book except for one thing.
What's it?
Costume. It's a little...
I don't disagree with you.
I don't mind the color scheme because it kind of fits in with... Like, he always said he was going to take over and be Batman.
Right.
So, it's got a little bit of Robin with the yellow and red, but having the black and gray, it very much feels like he's trying to transition into Batman. Because in this story, this is him leaving Batman. And Batman has no clue where he went. And this is Robin is trying to track down an island based off of the Lazarus Pit. It's called like Lazarus Island, I think. And they do tournaments and stuff, and he wants to prove himself and win this tournament. And this is him at first. The first stage of it is you have to fight somebody. This is a blind guy too, which is the worst part.
Oh, that's awful. I need to stop laughing.
Yeah, the blind guy's like, don't worry, I'll take it easy on you. And Damien snickers, and he's like, what are you laughing about? And then next page is like, knee to the face, your tattoo is stupid.
I just thought it was the Joker, and it was like a meta joke about the Jared Leto kind of Joker.
Oh, yeah. No, this is just some idiot with a bad tattoo. And he calls himself like the Serpent King, I believe. And so this earns him a coin that lets him get to Lazarus Island. He gets on the boat, and there's a lot of older people there that are obviously have dreams. This is what I like about this, because he is a kid, and it is very easy to forget when you read this that he's 14 years old, because he's doing all of the things Batman does at 14. So this is him waiting for the boat to go to the Lazarus Island, and he's reading manga. And I just thought that was really cool, and it was a really neat way to show
Really cool.
That he's still a kid, you know, that he still enjoys those kind of things. So he gets to the island. There's some really cool people there. You see on the bottom left there is Ravager, which is Rose. That's Deathstroke's daughter. And this is Lazarus Island. It kind of actually looks like Skull Island with the big skull up there. And this lady comes out, and she's like, welcome, everybody. They're going to do a break the bread kind of ceremony. And Damien's like, okay, hold on a second. I need everybody to shut up. I just want everybody to know, like, I'm here to kick everybody's ass. So I don't really care, like, about this breaking the bread stuff. Like, who's first? Who wants to fight me and get killed?
wow.
Yeah, it is so cocky. And this girl steps up. So this is a new first appearance. So if you like to collect those or get in on a first appearances, don't miss this issue. Her name is Flatline. And the book has a really cool fight scene between the two of them. And I will not tell you who comes out on top.
Who's the creative team on this book?
I don't remember. But I love the art style, because it kind of reminds me of Greg Capullo a little bit. And it could just be the inker. Maybe the inker is somebody that's worked with him before. But I'll have to look it back up and see who the creative team is. But it was a really fun book. So if you're if you're trying to figure out, like, DC books, which ones to read, I don't know if this one has lasting power. But I know DC's also said that they're going to focus on big stories, and there's going to be mini series and things like that. So maybe this one's a mini series. So
I feel that is very possible. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My next book, which is the weirdest book I've read in a long time, was Helm Grayskull or Helm Greycastle. Sorry. Yeah.
Looks awesome.
I mean, here's my take. The art in this book is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And you get to the end and you realize that it's actually designed to be a role play game.
Oh.
So this is, it's kind of neat. So it's, think of it as like D&D in like Aztec time.
Okay.
Right. Like that's the story you're reading, and it reads, it kind of reads like a DM wrote it. Okay. Like it's not like, it doesn't feel like it was written by like a super pro comic guy. It feels like it was written by a by a DM, created it. But all of the characters are absolutely gorgeous in this thing. Because you have like your barbarian, your wizard, your elf, your dwarf, your rogue. It's like you basically have a regular party, and like Montezuma is like a bad guy in it. And all the Aztec gods are kind of who you end up like you're going to fight. And the game is called Sacred Armor.
So it actually has like a campaign in there.
Yeah. Like the whole back half of the book is Sacred Armor. And it's like it tells you how to play the game.
Yeah.
About the adventure, about the setting. So like it's basically a comic book and then a module for a DM set, a D&D game.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually pretty cool the way it worked.
I'm going to have to let all our people know, because that would probably fly off the ship. Like when we get Critical Role, like they don't even stay.
Yeah. You know? It was interesting though, because like I'm not like a super role play guy anymore. I haven't played in years.
Yeah.
But I did like it. I thought it was good. There's even a map on there.
Oh wow. So this is an ongoing then, right?
I believe so.
Well, that's cool, because then there's the possibility that like each issue will have like a different campaign or something.
Let me see what it says here, because it said something. Yeah, it says to be continued.
Oh, cool.
The things I didn't like about it were that the lettering was weird. Like it goes from like regular word block to like this red word block to like this blood splattery word block. Mm-hmm. And italics to non-italics to italics to an orange word block. And it's just like all over the place on that end. But other than that, like I said, man, the art in this book is absolutely great. I'm trying to find a good picture to show you guys. Let me see here. And I know my living room is dark, so it's harder to hear. Maybe that one. Like that.
Yeah.
Is some really cool art, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. It's by Image and Top Cow. I thought it was cool. If I were into role playing a little more, I probably would have loved this book.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that that are.
Yeah.
And things like Critical Role are starting to get those people into comic books more too now. So
right. My next book though is going to be absolutely freaking awesome.
Okay.
But I will let you do yours. But I'll let you do yours first.
Okay.
So yours is Deadly Class, and I know how much you like it. So
I don't.
The next 20 minutes, Tim's going to be talking about this book.
I'm so glad it's back. It's been a long time. There's even a letter by Rick Remender talking about the last year, especially for him, and how much it sucked to have his show canceled. And he's like, but screw it, because comics are awesome and the people that read comics are awesome. So if they want to cancel my show, then I'll just do this. But this picks up, I think only two or three issues came out over the last year. This is a time jump issue. So we're going from the 80s to 1991, hence the Nirvana t-shirt. They even do a cool opening that has like 1991 with the baby from the album on it. This is a kind of a introduction of sorts, or a reintroduction to Marcus. If you've read this before, you know there's a lot more characters than Marcus, but a lot of it's centered around Marcus. And I think they wanted to say, hey, here's where he's at. And if you forgot about Marcus, we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you about how Marcus is kind of a dick. He has a really bad view of the world, understandably, since somebody tried to commit suicide and fell down off of a bridge on top of his parents and killed them.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was in the, you know, when it first came out. So it's understandable why he has such a negative view on the world, but Marcus is one of those guys that even when something good happens to him, he screws it up because of his view on things. He has a really interesting conversation with a buddy. Yeah, there's
the baby.
He has a really interesting conversation with a buddy in the car about some different things and some views on the world, to which this guy says, like, hey, man, you can say things that you mean, but you don't have to be mean when you say it. And that's one of the things that Marcus doesn't get. And that's what always seems to get him in trouble, is that he can't ever have like a good outlook or a good conversation. Everything that comes out of his mouth is negative. So this is, again, this is a very much an introduction to Marcus. He meets a girl. There's no real talk of any of the other characters yet. So like Maria and Saya, like, you don't know where they're at. He meets this girl. He talks about it in Rick Remender's fashion, how he's like, oh man, I'm having trouble shitting. He's like, must be like all the drugs that I'm taking. It's got me all backed up. So there's literally like four pages of him talking about getting an enema. And he goes and gets the enema, and it's like the instructions on the enema, and this is him using it. And then he's like, hey, go back to the previous one, because it's hilarious. It says in the bottom right, a tip from the manufacturer. And then when you go to the next page, lock the door before you fill your asshole with strange oil, you idiot.
So I believe that word is fuckhead, my friend.
It is. So she walks in on him. This was the girl that he met, that he was seeing. And then she's like completely grossed out. He stands up. He has a towel. There's like shit running down his legs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it's one of the things that Rick Remender does well, but very weird. Like, I think there were in the early seasons, he went to like fart in someone's face, but then had diarrhea and crapped his pants. It's a fun issue. It's a great reintroduction. And then towards the end, it starts to get into the violence a little bit and back into the swing of things. But I understand why he took that route with this, with there only being two or three issues in the last year. Because I was very much like, oh man, do I need to go back and read like the last two or three arcs? But he kind of covers everything. So it was a good, you know, jumping back on point. This book's awesome. Everybody should be reading this book. So,
all right. Speaking of awesome books,
here we go.
Galactic Rodents of Galactic Rodents of Mayhem. Would you like to take a guess as to what this book is about?
Boy, I'm going to say giant space rodents.
You would be correct. All right. Think of this book as like a biker mice from Mars, but like more of like a hamster gerbil style character. Okay. And way more like mercenary team. Okay. So it starts out with a flashback to where they're all family, right? And this giant shark man is killing all of these drug rats, like, which are actually drugged out rats.
Uh-huh.
And then like the kid's parent is like his like works for him, and he hires this salamander that is dressed kind of like Clint Eastwood in a like Western.
Uh-huh.
Totally kills their dad or mom. I don't really know what it was. So then the salamander guy kind of takes in the kids, and you cut to them like in a cantina, like a space cantina later. And they're kind of like just kind of doing their thing. And then all of a sudden, like some other space people decide that they're going to try to collect the bounty on these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them's like a rabbit. Then when she, once she starts to kind of try to get the bounty going, four ninja snapping turtles show up.
Right.
And they make all kinds of bad Ninja Turtle jokes. It's hilarious.
Nice.
And like there's a really funny part. Let me see if I can find it. Because there's basically like a shootout. So the rodents are like, it's Grom time. And the turtles are like, Grom time? What the hell's a Grom? Like, sounds stupid. So they kind of go through this whole thing, and then they keep calling them rats. And they're like, did you just call us rats? We look nothing like rats. Not cool, Shell Bros.
Shell Bros.
Right. So they end up, like, really, like, just beating their ass. But it's the first issue, and because it's a Scout book, Scout does issue ones, and then they release the graphic novel. So the rest of this book, to read it, you have to go and get the graphic novel. Oh. So I would highly recommend it. It's very much in the similar vein as like Metal Shark Bro.
I was just going to say, I think they did that with Metal Shark Bro.
Yeah, yeah. So if you liked Metal Shark Bro, check out Galactic Rodents of Mayhem. I am super, super going to recommend that to people because it is just absolutely stupid fun. It, like, if you liked like almost like the Mandalorian type style, like space bad, like group of space mercenary guys, yeah, this is kind of it, except they're rodents and it's okay. everything's anamorphic.
I don't know why it always make, like, when somebody uses animals like that, like Mouse Guard and yeah, Squirriers, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm on board. That's all I needed to see was, like, yeah, animals that are something else.
Oh, maybe my God. Maybe so
Thundercats so much. I don't know.
I love Thundercats.
Thundercats is great.
It's one of my all-time favorite cartoons ever. So, all right, let's see. If, is there anything going on in the chat that I need to worry about?
Ron was talking about he read back issues this week. He said he read the Matt Fraction, Tony Stark Disassembled
2024. Oh, holy crap, is that good?
Yeah, that's a great story.
That's like one of my favorite all time. I think I mentioned that.
Yeah, that whole run, Matt Fraction run, is amazing. So
yeah, starts out with the Five Nightmares, which is what they blended with Extremis for the third Iron Man movie, which is the part of the movie that was good. So. But anyway, we have some other cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So first let's talk about Winter Soldier, and then we'll talk about, For All Mankind, and then we'll talk about, Mortal Kombat. Actually, no, we'll do For All Mankind first, and then we'll do the other two, because we named our episode this week, Poor Gordo.
So quick introduction for everybody. This is an Apple Plus show. I got Apple Plus. It was like for a year or something free. So I was like, oh, I'll check out some of these shows. There was a cool show called The Truth, which is like a murder mystery. But as soon as I saw this, like space stuff, I was like, yes, I'm in. And the setup for it is basically it's the space race. And Russia wins the space race. And it sets into motion all these kind of like slightly alternate events of real history. And it's fantastic. This is absolutely a reason to have Apple Plus, especially now that season two just ended. You can go through and binge. I think it's, was it 10 episodes each season?
Yeah.
So you can go through and just binge it, and then you could get rid of it. You can have it for a month. So but that's kind of the setup of this show. And I turned John onto it like a couple weeks ago, and he liked it so much.
I plowed through it. Yeah. I think I killed it in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. You got all the way caught up before the finale. Right? Yeah.
I got caught up to the second to last episode, I think 2 days before the finale.
Yeah.
It was nuts. It is so good. It pulls you in. If you're into like the moon race and space race and like weird trivia about NASA and stuff like that. I'm a big Star Trek fan. So like, obviously I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just very cool. Like, and I also like things that have weird alternate realities. Like I've mentioned before, I've watched Man in the High Castle, which is a Philip K. Yeah. Dick book that, holy crap, is that good as a TV show on Amazon. And that one's even weirder because it involves Nazis. But anyway, this show is so good. And it's, and a lot of them are based on real people, like real astronauts, which is great. So one of the heroes in this is Gordo, and his wife, what's her name?
Sarah.
Is it Sarah?
I think it's Sarah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Gordo and Sarah, like, he was one of the first astronauts to go up there and do some stuff. He was in Apollo 5, I think.
Yeah.
And in the first season, they end up having like rocky marriage. They break up.
Yeah.
You know, she becomes an astronaut too. So she becomes popular because then they're going to be the couple in space. And then she's, you know, it's crazy. And then the second season, she's like super popular and on Johnny Carson all the time. And he's kind of like a has been, doesn't even really work for NASA anymore type thing.
Yeah.
In the first season, he has this really great arc where he's actually on a base in the moon that you got to check out, which affects season two. And then at the end of season two, they have the most heroic moment
they do
that I've seen in television in a really long time. Without spoiling anything, it is worth it to
for that.
It is worth sitting through 20 episodes for that.
Yep.
And it was awesome.
I'm going to give you two words that will confuse the shit out of people. Duct tape. All you need to know. If you're one of those people like duct tape can fix anything, we're talking about space and duct tape. So it's all you need to know.
Right.
Duct tape. I think he has one of the more, there's a lot of really good characters and it centers around three or four different groups of characters. And I think that he has the most relatable story, at least to me. You know, I liked his story of this guy that, you know, he's the first one. He goes up, they settle down, they do this base called Jamestown on the moon. And he was part of, you know, that group that goes up and really kind of like pioneered a base on the moon and all of that stuff. And then, like you said, he kind of has that fall. He watches, and I think it was the devastation of losing his wife and realizing that he loved her all along, but he never did the things to keep her, to make her happy and make her want to stay. So he regretted it a lot. But I think he has definitely one of the more relatable characters. Ed's wife, the one that runs the bar, creep me out this season. There was some really creepy stuff with borderline ethical thing.
The dude was 20, man. He was 20.
That's why I said borderline.
All right, here it is. I'm just going to tell everybody what it is.
Okay.
So he sleeps with his best friend's son, or she sleeps with his best friend's son, who works for them and is like 20 and was that's all I'm going to, that's as far as I'm going to go. Cause there's another real key component to that, that I don't want to.
Yeah. You don't want to spoil that. Cause it's a very
but
good.
The cool part about the show is like, they're like between season one and season two, there's like almost 15 years. So you see these kids that their kids grow up. And then in the second season, they're like off in college or getting ready to go to college. And then in season three, we're going to be in the 90s. Cause at the end of it, they showed that we're going to be in the 90s cause they're playing Nirvana. And, which I don't know why Nirvana is the go-to 90s theme song, but whatever. So they go to the 90s and we're going to probably see those kids even doing more stuff, But also, if you're a fan of like Cold War history,
yeah,
like, this is a cool, like crazy thing because it's, you know, the cosmonauts are there the entire time,
and you feel those moments like when they're on the edge of like, you know, nuclear war and stuff. Sorry, my eye's itchy.
No, it's fine.
You really feel it, like. You feel worried because you're already attached to these characters, and they've already shown that nothing is off limits. Not so much in like a Game of Thrones way, but in a more realistic way. There's just things that happen, real things that happen to people. And I think that's what makes it interesting. I think it creeped me out because that kid that was 20, I think he was dating her daughter, right? Or kind of seeing. It was like, remember he had her over for like spaghetti dinner. So I think it was like in the early stages of I like you, but clearly it was more like I like being around you because then I can see your mom.
Yeah.
And it was just
weird. Yeah, we'll call it that.
I told my wife, we were sitting here watching it, and I think it was like the third or fourth episode of season two. Before like any of that happened, and I was like, he's gonna bone her. I was like, they're gonna do it. And I was like, this is weird. This is super weird.
So, it was very weird, but I was like, well, that's also like the 80s, and that was a lot more acceptable back then, but still weird. Still weird. I
shouldn't say bone her. That's probably they were going to make
they were love. Gonna shag.
They were gonna yeah, baby.
They're gonna go snogging. It'll be all right.
So yeah, definitely. If you guys are looking for something fun to watch, I would check out this show. And then there's a couple other good ones that are on there. That show that's called The Truth and Defending Jacob, which
Defending Jacob was awesome.
Which has Chris Evans in it.
Yeah.
And that's a really good. And it's Chris Evans with a beard. So like half the time I was just like, because I'm staring at his beard.
It is magical.
He has a magical beard. So,
also check out The Servant and Dickinson while you're on there too. Those are and Ted Lasso. Those are
And Ted Lasso. And I think they just announced last week season two comes out next year, early next year.
Nice.
Yeah. So
damn. Depending on what it is, I may have to re-up my subscription.
Yeah.
Ah! Damn you, Apple. Or I'll just buy another. Maybe I'll just buy a new phone and get another year of Apple TV free. All right, so on to Winter Soldier.
Yep.
So
on to Captain America and the Winter
Soldier. Hey, spoilers, bro. Spoilers. Sorry.
It's a week old.
It is. It's a week old. And if you've read any comic books in the last 10 years, we'll say 10 years, like, you know that, you know, that both Captain America and Bucky at one point Falcon and Captain and Bucky have been Captain America at one point in those last 15 years. We see Falcon get to take up that mantle, and it's awesome the way it's done.
There were moments where I honestly thought that Bucky was going to end up.
Yeah, me too. As
Captain America. I did a really good job with this season with staying away from spoilers because a lot of toys leaked and stuff, I guess, that ruined it for people. And then Marvel put out the trailer for the final or for like the whole season, like 4 hours before the last episode. So it kind of spoiled the costume for anybody that stayed up that late. And I don't know if you noticed that the end credits, you know how it opened up and it would kind of like scroll across and would say Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It had changed to Captain America and the Winter Soldier at the end.
Yeah.
And
which then makes me think that next season's going to be Captain America and Black Widow. And then we'll get a Captain America and Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And they'll just do it how they did it for a long, like for a while there.
Yeah. That was for a year, a couple years, maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
They did like Namor and Iron Man and all those guys.
Yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
I think the thing that disappointed me about this episode was the action, because it was very dark and it was hard to see a lot of it. There were some cool moments like the helicopter fight, but some of them were hard to see. And I honestly think the best moment, the two best moments, were when he walks in and takes that mask off, that flag smasher, and someone says, "Who are you?" And he's like, "I'm Captain America." And you're just like, whoa, and you kind of get like a little bit, some chills. And then his speech that he gives to everybody on national TV. And the reason I liked the speech was because I think back to Winter Soldier, when Captain America is telling all the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, like, hey, Hydra's infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. We can't let them do this. They're going to try and kill everybody, and we're going to fight back. I know I'm going to, and I can bet you that I'm not the only one. And Falcon's like, did you have that written down, or did you just come up with that off the top of your head? And everybody knows that Captain America's speeches over the first 10 years are a thing. So to see Bucky, or to see Sam do the speech, I felt like that was him finally saying, like, accepting the role and the challenge of, it's not just, you're not just a guy holding a shield and throwing it. There's a lot more to Captain America than the action and beating people up. It's the words that you say, because he's inspiring people. So that was the part that I liked the most.
Yeah. The first time I watched it, I felt it was a little preachy at that point, but I'm also not the audience that needs to hear that. Like, yeah. You know, so for me, it was like, I know all this stuff already. So
yeah, it could have been a bit shorter.
I mean, it was fine. It needed to be said in there. Yeah. For what the storyline was.
Yeah.
And I then rewatched Winter Soldier and saw that same speech that you just mentioned, and I then went, all right, that is kind of, like, because this has a lot of parallels with the Winter Soldier movie.
Yeah.
And I realized that was the parallel to that, so I was okay with it a lot more. I actually thought the fight scenes looked great, and the reason I liked them because they were dark is because his outfit's so white. Like, it has a lot of whites in it, and it made it pop a lot better than if it were light out, because then it would have been blurry the other way.
Yeah.
But I thought the outfit looked amazing, except I always thought that was a pair of goggles.
Okay.
And it's not. It's actually looks like goggles, but it's actually in the masky helmet thing. But he doesn't actually have a helmet because his hair is out. So yeah. I don't know. But it might be like I wonder if it's like a Black Panther thing, though, where it's just going to like dissipate out. Kind of like, you know, that kind of thing, just because it'll be, because it's Wakanda tech. I really like that. I can't wait to see the other guy become the Falcon and join up on with them as well. Like, that'll be cool.
They said that that when they shot this, that they went low tech on the suit. He didn't have like the top half of a suit on, and they CG'd the rest. Yeah. It was all practical, and they didn't understand how they filmed some of these scenes in Atlanta. And they don't understand how it didn't leak. Right. And I don't understand how it didn't leak either, but the goggles were a little weird because sometimes they kind of like sat a little off-centered, and I wouldn't have noticed it if it didn't have like that white line right up the middle. Yep. You wouldn't have probably noticed it. But the part that bothered me was in the comic books, it didn't bother me, but seeing it in real life, the ears coming out seemed a little weird. I feel like you could just close those off and he could have an earpiece in, and you don't need to have those exposed at all.
I also thought in the comics he didn't have the hair exposed. I thought it went over, but
let me look that up.
Maybe it like evolved through his time period as Captain America.
Yeah, let me look that up real quick.
I did love everything about Isaiah Bradley in it. I thought that piece was excellently well done.
I was glad that they went back to it, because I was worried. I think we talked about that week or two ago. I was worried that they weren't going to go back to it, and I think that was a really important piece to go back to.
Overall, I didn't like it as much as WandaVision, because I thought WandaVision was more, I think it's because it was something new, and I also like those characters more.
It's hard if you can see it.
Oh, his hair's out.
It's out. So,
but I mean it. There were definitely cool parts to this episode. I like the redemption of the Winter Soldier stuff. That was great to see. The Sharon Carter stuff is great. Everything that ends up with John Walker is kind of cool. Yeah, I was waiting for that moment.
that finale part with him was great. I guess
all the parts with him were great because he kind of redeems himself. And now you're like, well, which side does he actually play on? Because does he know who she is?
Yes, yeah, like, so there was an article that came out that talked about that. And the reason I think, and it made sense that all seemed weird, was that this movie was supposed, or this show was supposed to come out after Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And it said that Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character is introduced in Black Widow. So that's why it probably felt a little disjointed when we saw it, because the way they filmed it, we should have already known who she was.
Well, there was also like the fact that the original plot was that there was a virus that was killing a bunch of people.
Yeah.
They had to do a bunch of reshoots. So there are certain parts where it feels a little jarred and just not quite flowing right. And that's what a lot of that is, in my opinion. But I still thought it was a very good thing. I really felt it was the sequel to the Winter Soldier movie that I always wanted.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Anthony Mackie crushed it. Holy crap, man. Like,
his arms were huge.
I know.
They were, they took every chance they could get to show off, not like exposing them, but it was just like cool moments from the side. And you were like, damn, those weren't that big.
Listen,
like, for the war.
I am a huge fan of baseball tees, and so is Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
Because in this show, and then I watched him in another show, but I can't remember what it was. It might have been a movie. Baseball tees almost the whole time. So, really? Yeah, we're bros at this point. Yeah. Like, he can do no wrong in my eyes.
So my grade, I will say I'm going to give it a low B. It was good. Yeah. I think if this came out before WandaVision, I probably wouldn't feel so low on it. But it's so hard when you're following that show. Mm-hmm. And that one had built up some really major, like, cosmic and magical consequences throughout. Like, so there was a grander scale on that show than this.
Right.
Whereas this one was kind of like setting up a new Captain America to go for the next so many years. So I think if it would have came before WandaVision, it probably would have felt a little better. But it's so hard. You're following that show, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And don't forget, next week, May 4th, Star Wars Day, The Bad Batch comes out.
Yep.
So that's also my second dose of vaccine day. So fun times. Thanks. All right. So now we can talk about Mortal Kombat. And then. Sorry. It's my Zemo dance.
Yeah. They have those on socks you can get now.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I saw like a bunch of things and I was like, oh, I really want this so bad.
Yeah.
So I am not a huge Mortal Kombat fan. Like I'm
I've
watched all the movies. I never had a Sega growing up. So I didn't really play a lot of Mortal Kombat. I played a lot of the first maybe three. Just hanging out with friends and playing whatever. So this movie to me had the most plot in it of any of them. So most of that plot was in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it really gave a really cool background to the Scorpion Sub-Zero storyline that we've never seen it like that.
Yeah.
Never read about it like that, and it was awesome. So I was pretty cool with that. The opening sequence and fight scene was really good. I thought the graphics in the movie were a little lacklustery, especially certain times where like the blood would splatter, and I'm like, did they just pull that out of the game? Because like it's
blood, yeah, the blood for sure, and then there was parts with Jax with his arms,
yeah.
That were like, oh, that looks really good. And then other times, like when he was laying down on the bed with when they were just putting the arms on him, I was like, ooh, that doesn't look very good right now. And then Sonya was like, he's like, what happened to me? And she's like, lay down, lay down. And I'm like, He's already laying down. He didn't even like try to sit up.
Right.
But
yeah, I definitely thought that there were parts like that. And then Goro was kind of a little awkward.
Yeah.
But the thing I will say about this movie that was wicked awesome were every single one of the fatalities were awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
And the fact that they would be like, fatality, perfect finish.
Yeah, it was always like somebody like, it was like they were narrating it to themselves in the background.
Right.
Because it was fatality. It's yeah. like, who said that? Why would... Is right. somebody just hanging out watching, just saying these things? So.
The only part of this movie that was very bizarre for me, and a lot of people as well, is they talk about, oh, you're marked. You got to do the tournament to save the worlds, but they don't actually have the tournament. Like, they do without starting
it. Yeah.
And it's like, are we having the tournament? Are we not having the tournament? Like, what's
yeah, there was
going
like,
on here?
There was like 40 minutes left when I realized either we're not getting this tournament, or it's going to be really shitty and really short. And I guess I was surprised that they didn't do the tournament, but then I was like, okay, well, I mean, if you're going to try and set up like something a little bit bigger and they're trying to actually put a story into it. But to me, the main reason to watch it was the last 25 minutes with Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Like,
yeah, the whole middle of the movie was just kind of
yeah.
Except for the fatalities. That was
because it's Kano just running his mouth the whole time, and you just want to slap him. I feel like, and looking at him, I'm like, ooh, I think he would be a really good Captain Boomerang.
Yeah,
better than the other guy that's playing him for some reason. That's what I think. But
I agree.
Yeah,
I thought it was very. It was a lot of fun though. Like. You know, even though I'm not a big Mortal Kombat fan, I thought it was a lot of fun.
This was the most fun part. This was when I was like, okay, because it's one of those movies like kind of like Kong Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Like you watch it knowing that you're probably going to get into a movie where there's not going to be like hardly any story at all. And you're just watching it for cool fight scenes and graphics. Although Kong Godzilla surprised me in the story part. I thought they did a pretty good job with that. But This had Kano was they were training like yeah. Hey, you guys got to train, we got to know if you can really be a protector or not. And Kano's fighting Kung Lao, I think who it was, and he sweeps Kano, and Kano's like, well, you know, that's not cool, you can't keep doing, and then he sweeps him again. and then he gets up and he jumps to miss it, and the guy fake jumps and then sweeps him again.
No, and he's fighting Liu Kang.
Liu Kang, sorry. Yeah.
Kung Lao is fighting the new guy, the guy that was created for the movie, who's the son of Scorpion.
Okay.
Or descendant of Scorpion, not the son of Scorpion, sorry.
Well, either way, I was like, that's cool, because that's how I played. Sweep the leg, sweep the leg, sweep the leg, straight jump, because I couldn't do any of the combos at all. I have played that and Street Fighter in old, like in the early 2000s, we would go to these arcades and it was you put your quarter down.
What's an arcade, Tim?
Yeah. And I would put my quarter down and I would play some random dude I'd never played before. And I'd get my butt whooped and move right on, because I could never do the combos ever. I was the sweep and jump guy. So.
Oh, and they did, they made that same joke with the new character when he's going into to fight in the ring, and they're like, you know, you need to learn to use like to actually block, not just go in and just keep punching. Right?
Yeah,
I was like, that's how I win. I just go in and I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
He was the most disappointing part of the movie to me, because they made a new character, for the movie, but then what's his name, Cole, right? And it was just kind of like boring. I'm like, without giving anything away, he's a descendant of Scorpion. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, you're a descendant of Scorpion, like you should be way more badass than this. So that
it was diluted throughout the years, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So he was a little vanilla to me for a fighting movie introducing, because if you're introducing a new character, then you're probably building him up because you want to put him in the video game. So you want to make it cool because you want people to want to play him. And he just had this gold mesh t-shirt on that could, like, Black Panther style absorb damage, I guess.
And make weapons.
And make weapons, like, out of nothing. So he was probably the weakest, one of the weakest parts for me in the movie. So
I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
I thought his story drove it pretty well for everything that wasn't there. I thought Raiden looked great too. Like, he's always he was one of my favorites to play as, was Raiden and Scorpion.
Raiden.
Those
my,
my two guys. So, but all in all, I gave it like a C plus, like, cause it was fun, but it wasn't like substantial, but it had the most plot of any of the Mortal Kombat movies. So I'm like, okay.
I was like, wait a second. The guy that wants to take over all the realms is the Calculator from the Nolan Batman films. I was like, this, no.
That's all right. Scorpion was the dude in the temple on Lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that guy's cool. He was also
the baseball guy.
He was also the guy that Ronan was fighting in Endgame.
Yeah.
So he's cool. He's badass.
Yeah, but that dude's crazy good.
Yeah.
Oh, also a lot of these guys that like the Scorpion Descendant guy and Liu Kang and I think Kung Lao all worked for Jackie Chan at one point.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see that. So
this I'll give you this my last take on this. This was the weirdest part of the movie to me, and I think they did this in the first one. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's the game is I win, I fight you, I win, I lose. There's a pyramid or a column of people that you fight, so it feels really dumb to me that they're like, hey, we're gonna have a good guy team and a bad guy team, like.
Well, it's they're protectors of their specific realms. My thing that was bothered me was there was Earth guys on the Outworld team.
Yeah. Yeah, the dude, what was his name, with the metal helmet?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm terrible with Mortal Kombat names. But yeah, so I don't know. I was kind of like, this, like, teams? Like, I don't know. So, but I guess that's the way they were able to do it with the story that they wrote. And if you're going to try and give it a story, then I guess I can look past that. I'm being very nitpicky about a movie called Mortal Kombat and it's spelled with a K, so. Which they did point out in the movie, which was kind of funny. He's like, Mortal Kombat. And he's like, this is stupid. It's not even spelled right.
I love all the meta jokes that were in this movie. It was,
they
was
did very a really good job of the, like, the fan service kind of stuff in it. So
I just thought it was good. So, but I had fun. That's why I gave it a C+. So,
yeah, I can agree with that grade. So, and then here's some good news. Beyond the Mortal Kombat, the finale for Invincible was today.
Oh,
I believe it's today.
No, it's tomorrow. It drops on Fridays.
It drops on Thursdays.
No, it's Fridays.
I'll pull it up for you right now.
I'm gonna look while you talk about it.
Because we've watched them all on, right, Steph? She's got her headphones in. She's not listening. But I'm pretty sure they've all dropped on Thursdays. But regardless, exciting announcement at 4 today.
It says April 30th is episode 8, which is tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Sorry. It's Friday, guys. Okay.
Tim, you're already in Friday. Come on, man. You got to come back.
Come back, guys.
Come back to Thursday.
It's the pressure of the show. I was trying to perform. They just announced that it was renewed for 2 more seasons.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys aren't caught up on that show, you really should be. And we'll talk about the finale of that next week because it'll be that break point between that and Bad Batch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Which I'm desperately trying to finish. I have like 12 or 13 more episodes of Star Wars Rebels, trying to crank those out real quick so I can, in case there's anything that's, because they all seem very connected, the animated ones. So I'm trying to finish that up before Bad Batch comes out. So
and, I'm just going to have my 501st friends tell me all about it. So.
Okay. And Carl, who's usually on here, is yelling at me because he's like, there was literally a pandemic where you could do nothing but watch TV. How have you not finished this? And the answer is, I don't know. I think I slept a lot.
There's also a lot of it to do. So maybe he didn't have the service that provided it yet. Oh, wait, we did. Never mind. Crap. I can't use that one. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, Ron said the costume was almost exactly the same as the comics about the Captain America one.
Yeah.
You said Iron Man was also the same or was also the most accurate.
Yeah.
Besides those, actually, like, Winter Soldier was...
His was really good.
Even in the first Winter Soldier movie, outside of the ski mask,
yeah,
it was down to where the guns were perfect.
And Black Widow's was, but that's a really simple one because it's just like, and maybe not the later Black Widow stuff, but when she came on the scene in Iron Man 2, like that was perfect. Yep. Like it looked exactly like she had like the big bracelets.
Yeah,
that were on here, and yeah, so, but
the Hulk was the most accurate if anyone's actually counting.
Carl's yelling at me right now. Excuses. I see that. I'm trying my hardest.
Let's be fair. The Hulk had the most comic accurate.
Oh well. You know. Yeah.
outside of him though, I'm trying to think if anybody else from who else in the MCU had the most accurate. I mean, outside of like making it look. Or making it out of actual like Kevlar and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like Captain Marvel's was pretty spot on. Trying to think who else.
Well, and you brought
Star Lord was perfect.
Yeah, Star Lord's was pretty good. Not to his first appearance because he had they all had like those the uniforms on.
Right, but if you look at like the Abnett run, which is what most of that was based on, it's pretty accurate. So.
I'll post it in the comments for everybody since you mentioned the Hulk. Jack Black has been entertaining us for a year now doing really weird videos in a Speedo. He did where he was Thor in a Speedo and some guy edits it to look like he's flying and stuff. And he just did one as the Incredible Hulk and it is hilarious. It's hilarious. He's the Incredible Hulk, and he's got like flares, and he's dancing in a Speedo, and it's absolutely hilarious. So I will post that in the comments for everybody.
Hold on, I gotta find something, and then I'm gonna post it in there, and I'm not even gonna tell you what it is, but you guys have to watch it.
Okay.
And it is the most ridiculous thing you're ever going to see.
All right.
That's it right there. All right, I'm going to put this in here. Everybody check this out and have a good night on me. All right. you have to watch it the whole way through, though, because it's so stupid and funny.
And I just noticed, too, we're up to 23 subscribers. So since we started our YouTube, and that was only like, what, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, like 6 weeks.
Yeah, so... thanks everybody for doing that. Please share it with your friends and let people know because it's really fun getting to interact with everybody while we're doing the show. And the more people we get, the more cool things we can do and the more fun we'll have during, you know, these things. And we'll try to have maybe like different like customers or something on sometimes. Like we had Rachel last week, but you know, I know Ron's dying to get on the show.
I have a couple other former NDC employees or NDC employees that may want to do this too. So,
okay, cool.
It's a good time to kind of go through the roster of old NDC employees and hear real dumb stories. If I can get Chris Lemke on here, you guys are in for a treat because he and I will tell you stories about the most ridiculous like times we had just having a blast at work. And then you're going to be like, oh, working at a comic store is a lot of fun. We're like, yeah, but we don't pay you a lot. Like no one gets into comics for making money ever. Nope. profit margins suck in our business.
Yeah. There's more to life.
Yep. So, all right. Well, thanks. Like what I do. Right. Well, thanks everybody for coming out Thursday night and hanging out. There's no Grays tonight, so go watch the Pens game.
Yep.
It's almost over, I think, right?
1-1. It's still in the second period. So.
Oh, nice. You got half a Pens game to watch.
I've done a very good job of keeping my eyes here and glancing and catching it as I go from the comments and back. Because I think like a month ago, my brother's like, you're just looking up at the game. And so I've kind of started to master that. Like, hey, what's this? Like a slight rainbow curve. Anyways, so.
Cool. All right. And make sure you join us next week with the creator of Stray Dogs.
Yep. Tony will figure out his last name.
Yeah, we have a week to figure it out. It'll Leaks be fine.
Flex. Yeah. So.
Tony F. It'll be fine. So. All right, cool. Thanks a lot, guys, and we will catch you later.
Peace.